I know, contemplating upon the message tonight, I really didn't know what the Lord had in mind for us. I was kind of tired this evening. Not too tired, though. And thinking about the services tonight. So the Lord has blessed us. And I thank the Lord for this goodly crowd we have here. I miss some faces today and miss some tonight. But we're glad that you're here. But we want to read out of the fifth chapter of Ephesians. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. And in that 18th verse, we find the life of a Spirit-filled believer. Now, you've often heard us say that in order to enjoy the Lord, you have to be yielded unto Him and unto the Holy Spirit, dedicated. You cannot be happy in the Lord and then trying to satisfy the flesh with the things of this life, this world, and then trying to satisfy the Lord. You can't do. You cannot be happy in that state. All that would cause is unhappiness and anxiety of heart. But I know that when we're surrendered unto Him, unto the Holy Spirit, He fills our life with the fruit of the Spirit, with Christ Himself, with the Word of God, becomes nourishing, assurance. And this 18th verse tells us how we should live as a believer and how to be happy as a believer. It tells us, it says, And this has to do with the whole family of God, as we're going to see, as we go down to these other verses. Be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, or rather with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with Him. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now you see, giving thanks always for all things unto God. I know you'll say that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? But we learn it. We learn it. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then going on, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Just submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now let's continue on. And these thoughts have been running over my heart and mind. The relationship of the wife and the husband in the home, the parents, the children. Many times I know this crosses the will of many an individual, who were not willing to submit to the instructions in God's Word, dealing with family problems, torn homes, and seeing where one is dodging the responsibility, discouraging others in that home, children disobedient unto parents. But that's not the way it should, that's not the way it ought to be in a family like we have here. Oh, that we should have families, loving families, where love is prevalent in the heart. Obedient children that will be submissive unto the will of their parents. The wife submissive unto her husband. The husband submissive unto Christ, who is the head. You know, I'm finding more and more about the reason why homes are torn up like they are. In that 22nd verse, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, I know you'll find an unsaved husband. An unsaved husband will take this scripture and drive a wife who's humble and obedient, drive that wife crazy with it. You see what it says there. Husbands. Wives, obey your husband. Now, you've got to obey me now. You've got to listen to me. And we've got some in this church. We've got them on both hands, the husband and the wife. Yes, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. But on the other hand, there's a scripture for the husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So you see, it does not omit the husband's responsibility. And then you have children. Obey your parents in all things. Now, I'm talking to the children of this assembly, to the Tate family children out there in your missions. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, we have a group of children here tonight. Now, you may not realize the full benefit of you being obedient unto your parents, but I believe there are some children that are actually killing their parents. You're killing your mother, who has been so patient with you, and who's trying to do the best for you, trying to show you the best. You're actually killing her by being disobedient and self-will and will not listen. And so if you have a good father, you're killing him. But I tell you what, if you will follow the order in God's Word for your life as a child, and you take the instructions and don't become a fool, God will bless your life more than above measure. Now, a child may tell me, a young individual might tell me they know the Lord, but how do they respect their parents? That's what I look for. That's what I look for. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let the wife be in subjection unto her husband in everything. Now, that doesn't mean for the wife to go out and sin. That doesn't mean to go out and get drunk if your husband wants you to go out and get drunk with you, or do perverted acts that are not right in the sight of God. You be submissive unto them as unto the Lord, and not unto their own self-centeredness and their own purpose for gain or for anything else. And that's where I was just speaking a little while ago. A husband is trying to drag his wife out somewhere and take that scripture and say, you know, you got to be obedient to your husband. You know what the scripture says. And so if that wife, if she's not clear in this matter, can easily be deceived by someone like that and be let off. But a wife, that doesn't mean for a wife to go out and sin with her husband and go out and run around the world with her husband and partake of the things that God has condemned her over and condemned her in her life. She once yielded unto the Lord, the God of truth, through by the Holy Spirit, and has broken all that power, took all that love of the flesh and the love of the pleasures out of took all that love of unholiness out of her life, and her unsaved husband who would try to get her caught in those things again, she doesn't have to yield to those things. No, sir. She's to take her stand when it comes to the truth. But he's talking here, he has reference to husbands of the church, to you, if you're a husband, if you're married, and you and your wife living together, you ought to know how to take your place and your position in the home, as recognizing first that Christ is your head, and you have bowed in complete obedience unto him. And then it'll be no trouble for your wife, if she's saved or if she wants to be saved, to be submissive unto you, because you're not domineering. You try not to force anything upon them, but you're just taking your place in the home as God has ordered you to and commanded you to. The husband is the head of the wife. That husband has bowed to the will of the Father, and he recognizes Christ as his head, the head of the church, the head of the body. And so therefore, the woman of the house, the wife, how easy it is for her to be submissive and subjective unto her husband in all things, knowing that they are both walking together with the same Lord in the unity of the faith. Yes, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. If you want to be saved as a wife in the home, you have to learn to do that, to submit yourself unto your husband, to be obedient unto him, to care for him, not to neglect his needs in the home, and to watch him, to keep your vows in your marriage as you married before the Lord. Be submissive to him in those things, and just yield to him as unto the Lord. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, are you saved? Do you know Christ? Do you know Him? Do you know Him as your head? He is your head, and you recognize that? Take your place in the home as the head of that home, as the priest of that home, and lead that home. Don't drive it. Lead it. Lead it in worship. Lead it in discipline. Don't drive it. Don't drive the children. Lead the children if you have any. Love that wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And how much did... let me ask you that question. How much did Christ love the church? He died for the church. He shed His precious blood for the church. And so that's the way you should look upon your wife. You're her head. And love her like Christ loved the church. Be willing to give your life for her and love her. Take care of her. Hold her and keep her until death doth part. Cherish her. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. Even as the Lord the church. Now, what are the duties of wives to their husbands? Let's look at some of them for a few minutes. In Titus 2:4, if you want to turn in your Bible with us, Titus 2:4. All right. That they may teach the young women to be sober or sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Now there it is. That they may teach the young women to be sober-minded. Now who is he talking here? He's talking to the aged women. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, not to hate them, not to run away from them, but to love their husbands. How quick are our young people? They'll run here and there for advice. What kind of advice are we going to give them? Are we going to give them constructive advice, especially one that's married and the home is on the brink of being broken? Are we going to try to to wedge it further and further apart? Are we going to try to mend that and try and that they may be able to keep that which they have? That which they have that might be separating them, it can be mended, can be brought together, instead of us driving them further and further away. Now you see, to teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to be obedient, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, teaching them to be good housekeepers, clean housekeepers, chaste keepers at home. Good, obedient to their own husbands. Teach them that, to be obedient to their husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Just like our blessed Lord we brought out this morning, He did not come to be ministered to, but to minister. And we are to help. You people, us that are married, as we watched our young folks grow up and get married and see little difficulties, little problems arising in their hearts and lives, and see where we can help them and encourage them to keep their marriage vows. Or if you see them having problems, you can help them. It's difficulty in the home. Maybe as much as the many things they do not understand. And by talking to them kindly, you can help them. And then they have a word of thanks for you afterwards. But now, and then, that they may love their husbands, love their children, and be discreet in the home. And then if you turn again to Ephesians, and look at the 33rd verse, the 5th chapter, the 33rd verse, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular," talking to the husband now, "so love his wife even as himself." And listen to the wife. "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." Now look at Sarah. Sarah called her husband, Abraham, she called him Lord, the governor, the head. Yes, he did. I wonder how many of the women of our church, do you respect and reverence your husband? Do you? Do you think the world of him? Is there anybody else like him? Is there anyone else that you'd have beside him? And what about the husband towards the wife? Is there any other woman you'd rather have beside her? That shouldn't be. I mean, it should be if you think of her as the only one, or you think of him being the only one. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way God intended it to be. And I hear of these who are married for 35 and 40 and 50 years. Oh, what rejoicing it does, happiness it brings in my own heart. Talking to Brother and Mrs. Coles back there, who's been married now for 32 years, celebrating their 32nd anniversary. It's a joy. How many marriages go on the brink? How many marriages are torn apart because maybe somebody didn't try to help them along the way? "Let every one of you in particular so love his wife." Oh, husband, love your wife. Oh, so love her. "Even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband." That's the order of things in God's family. I'm only telling you what God's word says and tells you, which is the truth. If you want to have a happy home, you're to be obedient unto your husband. If you want to know what a happy home is, and then 1 Corinthians 7, 3, 5, and 10 tells us to be faithful to them. Turn with us over there to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. And you'll find in that 3rd verse, let the husband render unto the wife her just dues, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. There it is. Giving ourselves one to another. Husband, wife, giving yourself one to another. One to another. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. And then he goes on in that 10th verse. He says, and unto the married I command ye, not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Let not the wife depart from her husband. You know, marriage is supposed to be a lifetime proposition. And though when I married my wife, we made those marriage vows, it meant a lifetime proposition. Well, would you call it a proposition now? No, I wouldn't call it that. But it should be a lifetime joy and happiness, the husband and wife, if you meet the order according to God's Word. You see, we'll have happy homes in this church, and we'll raise happy children in this church, and we'll raise obedient children, because then we know our respective places. And may the Lord work that in everyone's heart, every one of us, in you children. The greatest joy and the greatest happiness that can come to you now is to learn obedience in the home. And that's true. In the home. And then the Scripture speaks of wives being subject unto them. And you'll find that in Genesis 3:16, Ephesians 5:22-24 that we just read, in subjection. I know the natural individual, that's hard to bow to such things. I've never heard of such things before, because women are on the uprise today as a whole. They've got their liberality. They want to go on, and they want to be greater, and they want to overrule men, and they want to be just like the men. They want to dress like them. They want to live like them. They smoke like them. They drink like them. And they want to be everything just like the man. And for the Holy Spirit to cut across a woman's heart with scriptures like this in their self-proud way, they want to rear back. Me be obedient to my husband? That trash? Or that drunkard? Be obedient to such the like as him? Why, he's running around with other women. And who is he? I'm just like him. I'm human. I've got just as much right to live as he and have the same position as he. And who he thinks he is. And so you cut across their will with the Word of God. But the gospel is meant for that very purpose. To straighten sinners out. To straighten their thinking out. To straighten the women out. To straighten the men out. To straighten the children out. to get their thinking straight, that they might get right with God. Because by nature, every individual is just as crooked as can be. Turned all the way around by Satan. Going backwards instead of forward. Now, isn't that so? And that's true. But for the grace of God, every one of our women of this assembly out there in Radio Land would be going the same direction if God never would have turned you around. And you'd be following the women's equality movement and everything else. Well, I'm not against them. I'm not against the privileges that should be accorded to women. But when they become a domineering factor in this country and overruling men and overruling God's governing offices as prescribed in the Word of God, then it goes contrary to me. Because I know it's against God's order, even for the church and for the land, for the country. And our homes are being wrecked because of that. The women want to get out and leave their children to hanker for themselves. Instead of being at home and caring for them and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, loving them and teaching them discipline. And being a helpmeet to their husband instead of a hindrance unto him. To be there when they come home and they're looking for a good meal after a good hard day's work. And there it is, they come into a home, no wife, the children are gone, and there's nothing there for them. It's hard for a husband to love a wife like that, isn't it? It certainly is. But it's God that makes the home. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who comes into a home and makes that home over like it ought to be. And make it a happy home. Drive out all the terror of it in a home. Our TVs are wrecking our homes. TV in every room of a home. The children in one room, the father's in another room, the mother's in another room. They have no conversation. They have no family life. It's just one rushing in and rushing out. That's what's wrecking our home life. People don't know how to use the things of the world. They just abuse them on every hand. But then, we are the wife is to obey her husband, and the order is to remain with them for life. Be separated yet for a while when it's convenient for both of you, but it never speaks of separation eternally one from another, unless on one ground, that's infidelity. But to live one with another for a lifetime. And I appreciate it, and I praise the Lord for it. I have nowhere else to go. I don't want to go anywhere else. They should be adorned, not adorned with ornaments, but with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that ornaments in itself is wrong, but not to be adorned, attracted by those things, but to be adorned with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Word of God tells us that they should be with modesty and sobriety, and then with a meek and a quiet spirit. Not one a hard spirit. Always dangling and arguing and cutting up in the home. And always in contention. Find the least thing you can tend it about. And you rear back and you snort and you pitch. And because things just don't go right, that's not the way. It says, with a meek and a quiet spirit in the home. If a person tells them, a woman tells them to save, they learn meekness and quietness in the home. And that's true. A meek and a quiet spirit. Now, the only reason why they have another spirit is because they're wanting to have their own way. And they want their own purposes fulfilled. And then it speaks of good works in the home. In the home, good works. Now, this is a lot of lesson, not only for women, but for the men too. And it's good when we can say, there goes a good wife. There goes a good wife. Isn't she a good wife? Isn't she obedient unto her husband? Look how she cares for those children, how she takes care of them. And you can go in that home all the time. She's waiting there. She's preparing. She's thinking about the welfare of that home. She's a good wife. Don't you love to hear that? I hear it. Yes, she's a good wife. She's a good cook. She knows how to take care of the house. And oh, how she keeps those children properly dressed, combed, cleaned, and sees that their hygienic needs are fulfilled day by day. Takes care of them. Watches over that home. Doesn't throw them to let them do for themselves and neglect her responsibility. Yes, and they are a blessing from the Lord. Let me tell you that. They are a blessing from the Lord. They come from the Lord, those kind of women. And they are a blessing to their husbands, too. What a blessing. You know, God's blessed me with a wife. And you're not ashamed to talk about her anywhere. And you'll talk about it and say, she's a good wife to me. Just as loyal and true. What would I do without her? I don't know what I'd do. You know, that's the way you go on. You think much about your wife. Oh, husband, I wonder what you think about your wife. Yes, they are praised by their husbands. As Proverbs 31:28 tells us, praised by their husbands. And they are diligent and prudent. They know how to take care of things. They're conservative. They're discreet. They know how to manage things for the home. They're not always overspending, and they want this, and they want that, and because this doesn't match, I want this to match, and this and that and everything else. They're not full of contention like that. No, They are diligent, and they're prudent. They're watchful. And then, what is their attitude towards unbelieving husbands? If you're a saved wife, now the scriptures are clear on that. And I believe you find that in 1 Corinthians, if you want to say a turn there. The duty to unbelieving husbands. 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and the 13th verse. And the woman who hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Don't let her leave him. He may not see everything like you see, and believe everything like you believe, but don't leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. If he wants to depart from you, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God had called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? By letting him dwell with thee and not leaving him. Living before him. Your testimony of your life in obedience unto and subjection to him as unto the Lord. that your life will influence his life. How do you know that? That it won't. Well, he don't see things like I see it. And he don't believe things like I believe. So I think, therefore, I don't think how in the world we can live together. We'll just get up and pack and leave and go somewhere where we could be ourselves and we can think better, we could pray better, and we can read the scriptures better, and we can live a holier life, and all of that. That's not God's intended order. Uh-uh. Away with all of that. We've seen that happen. That has happened. And the individual is no more better condition today as she was when it happened. Stay right there with your husband. He needs you, and you need him. Even though he may not be saved, but your life, dedicated unto the Lord, surrendered unto the Lord, obedience in the home, discreet, helpful to your husband, and taking care of that home. That's what the Apostle Paul said there. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Stay there and battle it out. And look to the Lord and trust him. You don't win things by running away from them. You only make them worse for yourself, and the one whom you hurt, you've done more harm to, is that other individual. Let our young people battle their problems together. And they'll grow up and be something. They'll be able to weather the storms of life. And then, silent in the churches. Silent, not to you usurp authority in the church. Another place it says, if you have any questions to ask, ask your husband at home. That's only the Word of God. Take the position of a wife in subjection to her husband, the husband in subjection to Christ, obedient wife, trust her husband, relies upon him. Oh, he makes a lot of mistakes. Sure he does. But you're there to help him. Discreet in the home. And then when you come to the church, you know your place in the church here. Not to usurp authority over the man. And our churches are getting away from that today. We've got women preachers in the pulpit now, going contrary to the Word of God. And many of our preachers are going contrary to the Word itself. And so, that shouldn't surprise us as they let down the barriers, the restraint, turn away from the Word of God, and use it more or less to soothe their conscience, to soothe themselves with it, particular scriptures that they can carry on. But we can only go ahead and just believe the Word of God and teach it like it is, and praise the Lord for it, and bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits towards us here. Bless his holy name. That the Holy Spirit is able to keep us all in our place where we belong. And if you want that happy life, if you want that joyous life, is your submission unto him. Unto the Spirit of truth, if you're not saved, submit your souls unto him. Submit that precious soul unto Him, that He'll save you, He'll bring you to Christ, and you'll delight in Him and rejoice that He's your Savior and your Lord. We're glad you came tonight. That's God's message for our hearts, not too much preaching as it is instructions for us in the Word of God. But I think they had enough there for every one of us. Every one of us. And when we go back to our homes, just look at yourself and recognize yourself in the Word of God. To whom He is speaking to the wife, to the young people, to the children, to the husbands, to the age. Let the aged women among us teach the youngers, the younger women, the aged women, to teach the younger women not to hate their husbands, to love their husbands, and be obedient unto them. To be good housekeepers. Not to run out and get a job when your husband's making good money. Our Father, tonight, we just come thanking You for these instructions from Thy Word. And may it find its place in every one of our hearts. And may we find ourselves, this whole family, at Thy pierced feet. And our one cry is that You'll make us all over again. And our Father, make us and mold us according to Thy Word. You said the Word of God giveth light. And our Father, it is a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, and a light to our pathway. Lead us into that life that will be pleasing unto our Lord. That life that will bring joy and gratefulness and thankfulness and kindness and mercy. For Christ's sake, we ask it in His name. Amen.